and that's it! Norway, by the skin of their teeth, take their seventh title, and once again, for the third time in 12 months, they have beaten the Netherlands. It's Norway who celebrate yet another title. Unbelievable scenes here, Grimsborg huge in goal.
Norway are the gold standard in women's European handball, winning seven EHF Euro titles between 1998 and 2014.
For this podcast, we want to focus on the golden years from 2004 to 2012, when this team amassed four Euro titles in a row. And at their peak, they were Euro, World and Olympic champions all at the same time.
We spoke to three Norwegian icons to learn about the keys behind the success. Stina Oftedal, Carolina Dira Breivang and Kari Grimsbø.
These three players started their career at very different times, but they all had one thing in common.
I didn't feel I could throw the ball or shoot against the goalkeeper, so I was feeling kind of sick almost because I didn't knew what I was doing here because I didn't feel good enough because it was a part of something that I had seen on TV.
You're like bubbling over and you're nervous and everything at the same time, and finally your dream come true, and then you stand in the goal for 15 minutes and your legs are shaking so much, and I think maybe I saved two balls or something, and after I was like, oh no, this was terrible, and I really had to use some days to get over it, you know, because I just wanted so much to prove myself. I'm not so very patient person, so I want to do well from the beginning.
You come in and you're really hungry and you want to have a spot right away, you want to be good right away, and that's actually the hardest part as being young coming in, because it's like, yeah, you're here to learn. You want to be good now, like you want to play now anyway.
So let's start with Carolina. What was her first appearance like for the national team?
Well, it was in 2000 in Romania, and I wasn't a part of the Norwegian team going to Romania at first because I wasn't taken out. But then Kjersti Grini was injured and she wasn't able to be a part of the team. And then I was contacted after the training tournament in Norway had started. So I was like, I didn't know what I was going to. It was just a dream came true that I was a part of the Norwegian national team, since that was something I had dreamed about since I was like 8 years old. So I didn't kind of knew what I was going to. But at that moment, you were only able to have 12 players during the game. So we were four players standing over each game. And we had to do so many things. We had to train longer in the mornings. We had to film in the arena. We had to go physical training. And it was so stressful because I couldn't relax. So after two games, I thought, please, Marit Breivik, just let me sit on the bench because I get exhausted by just doing all these things with not playing. So in the third game, I came along with the team and I did quite okay. I remember I scored 6 goals against Romania, even though we lost. I felt like they were cheering for me because when it's like 6,000 Romanian people in the arena and they scream Romania, it's like Caroline in my head. So even though it was the worst European championship for Norway during all times, it was 6th place. I think for me, it was quite the beginning and I made a dream come true.
Maybe you can tell me a bit about 2004, because it seemed like that was a change for the Norwegian team, because you'd missed out on the Olympics that year with 6th place in the World Championship. And then all of a sudden it began this amazing run, particularly in the European Championships, winning every gold from 2004 to 2010. Was there something that sparked after missing out on that Olympics?
I get goosebumps while you're talking about the 2004 tournament, because it was kind of, like you said, the start of everything. And we were really kind of hurt by not being in the Olympics, since it was, for at least all of us, a tournament that we really wanted to go to. So it was really hard not to compete in that tournament. But at least the European Championship came in December, and we hoped at least that we could do well there. But we had a pretty new team also, that didn't have that much experience. And I remember that we met Ukraine in the first game, and that was the game that made us maybe not going to the Olympics, because we lost against them in 2003 in the World Championship. So it was a really important game for us. And I think we won with 2 goals or something. And when we had that game off our shoulders, I think we kind of played more relaxed. And in the main round, we kind of get really much speed in our feet, because after we won with 1 goal against Russia in the first main round goal game, then we played really well. And I remember especially the semi-final against Hungary. We won with 15 goals. So that was a crazy, crazy game with all the spectators. And that way maybe was the start of playing the fast counter-attack that Norway has been maybe famous for.
Kari Grimsbø joined the team shortly afterwards, and it didn't take her long to get involved. But what kind of team was she getting involved with?
You come inside the team with so much routine, with so many good and experienced players. And I really felt from the start that I was safe. They really took care of the new ones. I don't know, when you come in as a new player, you know your role. I know that I'm not there to play 60 minutes, but you still feel that you are important. So everyone in the team are important. Every role is important, even though the minutes on the field, it's different. And this is really, really important for our team, I think. So no matter what kind of position you have or how many years you've been inside the team, you are important for the whole, how we play and how we perform.
Stine Oftedal remembers growing up watching this culture develop on the court.
I was close to being a little starstruck, I have to say that. I'd watched the girls for years and every December following them closely. So it was a pretty big thing, actually, to join the squad and to be selected at all. So it was very special for me.
So you had won a junior Euro in 2009 and a World Championship in 2010. When you were playing in those teams, did you feel an influence from the senior team when you were coming up, or an effect of maybe the culture, a trickle-down effect of the culture of the senior team into the junior teams?
Yeah, I think so. I think that in Norway, it has been a lot about bringing the good stuff from senior down also on the younger teams. And it's a very good organization around it, and very professional, actually, quite early on. That's at least my impression. So we felt it, and we also had, I remember, maybe a year before we took our first junior gold, and we had a camp that was at the same place at the seniors. And then it was, wow, that was so inspiring in a way, of course, to see all of these big stars being that close. And okay, we're next ones up. So yeah, it's a good organization for it. And it was at that time, at least a little in this culture that, yeah, Norway, they are in the top always.
Was there anyone in particular you were looking up to as a player? And was there anyone who, I guess, looked after you when you first came into the senior team?
Yeah, but of course, these big names like Tony Larsen, Gro Hammerseng-Edin, players that won everything, that were very... Yeah, that did good in international handball for years. Those were some of them. I think when I came into the squad, it was in general and a very good team to get into. And I was also lucky enough to have some of the players from my own generation coming in at the same time. So that felt a bit more secure, of course. But it was also, they took good care of us. I had to carry some balls and some bottles and these things, but I feel that's a part of it and that everyone has to go through anyway. So it was a good way to come in.
And so when did you start to notice then you started to have more of a kind of a senior or leading role then in the team? And did you take that influence from what you saw beforehand?
Yeah, for me, I was for 3 years, I was always in the championship. I was selected, but I didn't play much. So I was there to learn. And of course, I could observe, I could see a little how things worked. And then when I suddenly then got into the captain's team, as we call it, it's one main captain. And then you also have like a second captain in, I think it was 2014. Of course, I was a bit more prepared and I took the steps and like the grades a little every year. So yeah, I feel that it was, it's a good system somehow, even for that.
Can you tell us a bit more about this captain's team? I've heard in some clubs or some national teams, they have these 2 or 3 players. What was it like for you and what it's like for Norway in general?
So we have the captain, of course, selected from the coaches. The same then for the second captain. And then we also have one, like a player who is named from the girls, who is like the voice of the players. We are more in between, and then you have this one who is only supposed to like talk the players' cases completely. So, so we are three in that captain's team, as we call it. And when I first came in, then it was Caroline Dyhre Breivang who was the captain. So that was in one way the perfect person to start this learning process for me with, because she's one who has control of everything, like remember every player's birthday and just completely control. So I was thinking, like, when she left the year after, what will I do? How will this turn out?
No, I think for me as a captain, I didn't quite do anything else that I would do without being a captain, because I feel like it's important for every player to feel comfortable and feel that they are important, even though it's maybe they are player number 14, 15 and 16 and not going to play all the time in the tournament. The team depends on those players as well, because we need their positivity and energy and everything. So for me, it was like, okay, I go and have the draw with the referees and everything and change the wimple or something. But then it's all the things in the team that is important also, that we are good together and that we are wearing the right clothes and everything. So, but for me, it wasn't that many tasks that I thought of that I really had to do, because for me, when I was a captain, I had been a part of the national team for like 12, 13 years. So for me, it was kind of normal and natural.
Now, Carrie.
I just think, and this has been the culture with the national team, that we have many small teams inside the team. And I think also this with the captain's team is really important, because to be the leading captain, it's really pressure. And to be in the situation we were for so many years, with the attention and the expectation to the team, I think it's really, really important that they are more people together to actually be able to take this pressure, and that they had different tasks. So that one person didn't need to take responsibility to everybody on the team, because that's a lot of persons. For this, I think this was working really, really well. The group was really secure and felt good represented, and we were safe inside the team.
The goalkeeper team as well is another super interesting one, I find, and particularly with the Norwegian team, because you're so full of quality, and the battles just to be those two goalkeepers must have been incredible over the years. And you seem to be always in there, or for the most part, you managed to be in the top two. But what was that aspect of it like as well? Because it's almost a completely different team within the larger squad.
Yeah, and I like I said, I think this is also a really good thing, because to be a goalkeeper, you're very vulnerable. People see you really well. And also to take the pressure and to handle this mental expectation and difficulties that you can feel, because you're so, everybody can see you in the situation. I think to be like, to feel that we are a team inside the team, it was also making us feel more secure. We, all of us were and still are very competitive, and everybody wants to play. But at the same time, you can see like your teammate in the trainings, in the physical training, in the handball training, in the matches, just giving everything in every situation. And of course, that makes me want to do just as well and work just as hard. And I think this has been like the recipe, like you see how much people work around you, that you also put down the extra to get the level even higher. And then the competition inside, like for us, the goalkeepers, it was even harder because everybody was working so hard. But for the team, I think this is so positive, because in the end, and the result is that you have really good goalkeepers, no matter what kind of situation and who has a bad day or a good day, you have a really good goalkeeper team. At the same time, the atmosphere between us was really good. So even though we were competing really hard, it was full of support. And we agreed that before the championship, the most important is that we do well in this goalkeeper position. That's our goal. And this is what we're fighting for every day. If it's me, if it's Katrine, if it's Silje, who is there, that's not the most important. the most important is that we perform when we need to.
Now, Carolina. You had a nice long career with the national team and a hell of a lot of success as well. I don't have to tell you everything you won over the years, you know well yourself. But during that time, lots of players had transitioned. Times had changed. There was a change from Mara to Torrier as coach. But throughout all of that, was there one thing in particular or some aspects that always stayed the same and that helped Norway stay so successful?
I think the team-oriented, like, coach philosophy, that in Norway we are a team. Like, it's like we are a group and we are doing this together, and it's a coach team together, and we have this captain's team, and we have this teams between within the team. So, for instance, me and Stine was sometimes in the teams that we should coach each other on the court because we play the same position. Or me and Gro Hammerseng-Edin were in the same team to coach each other to make a greater team. So I think the team part has been, for me, really good and successful. That we don't discuss that Tori or Maris was the boss. They are, of course, but they always ask the captain's team or the group, what do you think about this? Is this okay? So we feel like you have a control over your day. It's not like the head or the boss are taking the decisions over your head, even though they are taking this, the decision, but they ask the group and try to let us also be a part of everything.
Now, Stina.
Tell us a bit about the Norwegian public and the culture around the team, because from going to these championships over the years and meeting Norwegian fans like in the hotels and stuff like that, and also just having Norwegian friends, it is kind of part of Christmas, like the Norwegian women's national team. It is like the build up to Christmas, and generally watching Norway get to the semi-final or final of the Women's Euro or the Women's World Championship. And you've experienced that growing up through the 2000s and seeing them over and over again in the final. And now nowadays you don't have any Decembers anymore because you're in it. What do you think of that, I guess, the tradition then and the effect it has on Norway and the effect that it has on you and the team?
Yeah, without any doubt, in Norway, it is a Christmas tradition. It's written in the papers every single year, and it's all about handball in December. And in this way, I feel we are extremely lucky to have that big amount of the population following us that closely. So mostly it's an amazing and great thing. At the same time, it makes a lot more pressure, and I think also the interest comes because of the previous results. People watch because they are used to seeing us succeed, and that's a little how it works. And in that way, of course, it brings a lot of pressure. At the same time, I also think that the national team has been very good with dealing with this type of pressure and kind of preparing players for it. For me, for example, I came in a very young age, didn't necessarily play as much the first years, but I was still there. I was still like feeling the atmosphere, feeling the culture, see how things work. And they always have a big focus on, the working process, that things, it doesn't come easily. And I think that that's the best way to deal with pressure, that you still try to prepare the best.
And here's Kari.
You could really feel when you started to get close to the championship that everything is starting to narrow on the girls, even in the trainings, the expectations on how we're training and the level that we're training, it's really high. And this I could feel when you're young and you're also a little bit afraid to make mistakes in the training. You've even felt a little bit nervous before the trainings because you don't want to make your team less. You really want to perform in the level that they do. Of course, you're younger and your performance will be more like this, but we were really fighting, we were really struggling to keep the level in the trainings. And especially the closer to the championship and the matches we came, the more and more it was like you needed to perform.
Did that mostly come from the players themselves or the coaches, or was it just the fact that Norway had become so used to every December that the women's team was going to be playing in the championship and part of the Christmas build-up is to see them win a gold medal usually?
I think this was like in all of the team. It was the way. We know that we needed to really give it all, and it wasn't enough just to give it in the matches. We needed to give it in the training because it's so hard to be on the top, and it's so hard to perform at the best and to compete against the best. The margin to do a mistake, it's very small. So every minute you're training, you need to try to train the best that you can with the best quality, because then you're the best prepared for the matches when the difficult situations are coming.
If you can go back into your mind and think about the years before you were part of the national team, was there one moment that sticks out to you as a fan when you were looking back at this golden generation?
I actually think that what I remember the most from before, actually, I feel like I remember way too little. I'm a little disappointed by my own brain here. What was wrong? No, but I think that the Olympics in 2008, that's actually the thing that stands a little out for me. I remember watching that and thinking like, oof, I have to do that one day. So that's something that really stands out a little. And they had like a crazy close semifinal, all of these things. It had it all, that championship. So that's what sticks out a little in particular.
Of course, it's difficult to come without the Olympics, because I've been in the Olympics twice and I won twice. And I think that's really difficult to see, or not difficult, but it's strange to see now when I have ended my career that I actually have two Olympic gold medals. It's kind of crazy. And I would like to be in the Olympic tournament again, just for the feeling, not that I want to play, just to be a part of the whole thing. But also the semifinal in the Olympics in Beijing against South Korea, the strangest game I ever played, because we didn't know if we had won or something after the game. Because the goal Gro Hammerseng didn't score when the time was out was discussable. And the semi-final in Podgorica against Budućnost when we won the Champions League with Larvik in 2010-2011 season was amazing. Because I think the arena in Podgorica takes around 5,000 spectators, but I think in that game they put 7,500 spectators in the arena or something. And it was... Yeah. A lot of discussions in Norway after the first game, because we only won with 5 goals and everybody thought it would be too little to play in that arena in against Budućnost. So I remember I was sitting on the bench in second half because I changed defense with Linn Jørum Sulland, and we had the lead with 9 goals, and I was counting because there was so much noise in the arena, and I was counting 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And I couldn't get it up. Like, we are 14 goals ahead and it's like 10 minutes left, because I couldn't hear anything because the kind of atmosphere in the arena was crazy. So that was maybe the game from the club I remember the most.
So the good old days in Budućnost. Huh?
Yeah, the really, really good old days back in Budućnost.
Of course, the Olympic in 2012 will forever be really strong in my mind. And especially the quarterfinal against Brazil. And we are under by 6 or 7 at one point, I think. And this match is really, yeah, it means a lot to me. That's because I think this really shows the quality inside our team. We didn't make it work, and we didn't play well together. And then we just decided as a team to not to give up and just to keep on fighting. And just by this, we managed to turn it. And I think we didn't play so well at the beginning of the matches overall. And I think there were a lot of people not expecting us to do very well because of the lack of good play. But just inside all of us, it was like this fire that we knew, okay, we don't give up, because we know inside ourselves there is something that is worth a lot more than the play that we're showing right now. And I think in this quarterfinal, we really showed it, and we like had the feeling, okay, it's true. What we have been believing on, it's here. So I think that was really important for us, and to do the win in the final also.
That's classic Norway almost, isn't it? Knowing that you have that within you no matter what. And that's something that the other teams know as well, that you can never count Norway out in these situations.
Yeah.
What do you think about the current team's chances now then? It's obviously really difficult to make any predictions for a championship we didn't even know was going to happen until today, but maybe not so much their chances of finishing in a particular place, but what do you think of the current setup of the Norwegian team?
It's a really strong team. It's a lot of good players. So I think for this, they have a really good chance, and it's a good mix of different kind of players, and it's a lot of experience. So they have a good team. This situation is so strange, and this whole autumn has been very differently, and the preparation will be very differently. And I think you've seen also in other sports that the mental now is more important than ever, because it's so insecure. Everything is so insecure, and something can happen in every moment. You never know, even in the day you're playing the match, if suddenly it will be cancelled. You know, it's so unpredictable. So I think, and I know inside this team, it's a lot of great force, like mentally force also. So I think that's very good for them.
Interesting. I guess that comes from this whole culture, right? And the years of experience that the team has had and the way they've set things up, that they're so mentally strong.
Yeah, I think also the culture brings this into the team, and every year we have been so focusing on what we did last year. That's not important, because we cannot use the same this year. We need to develop. We need to develop individual. We need to develop as a team. We need to be better in every aspect to have a chance to be the best again. And this have been the way we have been working for all of the years that I've been with the national team. And I think for sure this will help us this time also.
I think they look super strong. They have, of course, Nora Mørk back, which is a really good player when she's well from her knee injuries, and she's gives a lot of positivity and energy into the team. But I think the most important thing is now that they have a defense that are really good, with the comeback of Marit Mannfrafjord. And if Veronica Christiansen get well from the COVID-19, and then they have Kari Bratseth and Stine Skogran and Sanna Solberg. So I think for at least since 2016, they have a good defense to put up back there. And I think that's the main reason why Norway hasn't got any medals the two last championships, because the defense hasn't been good enough. So that's maybe the most important thing I see, the comeback of Marit Mannfrafjord, and that they can put up a really good 6-0 defense. And that will give Norway the counter-attack that they are really good on.
So are you saying gold medal then?
We always hope for gold medals. But I think for now it's like, it's difficult to see, because you haven't seen any team at this moment. And no team has kind of played any games either. So, but I think from like the perspective that they can put up a good 6-0 defense, it's a good thing for Norway that they haven't had in the last two championships.
Legacy is a word which often comes up when you talk about Norwegian captains. Is it kind of dangerous to think too much about your legacy too early, that you kind of maybe get a little bit distracted by that?
Yeah, it is. And I never thought about it as like that much as legacy. So now I got a little, whew, like, it's true. it's a lot about my legacy. No, but you're right, of course. And I also think that is why it's so important to focus on all these working processes that you have throughout championships, throughout the years. That you're, even though you have all this pressure and you have really big shoes to fill, You still work the same way, and you try to prepare as hard as you can. And I think that helps a lot.
Stine, Carolina, and Carrie have all played their part in Norwegian handball history over the past 20 years. 20 years which have embedded a culture of excellence and rock-solid mentality in their players today. Soon we will discover if the current Norwegian team will be led back to the top of the EHF Europe podium by Stine Oftedal.